This gospel is one of the more renowned stories of the New Testament, and especially of the four gospels, the prodigal son. And it's from chapter 15 from Luke's gospel. But it's important for us to kind of contemplate this mystery of God's forgiveness and to know that this parable is really one of three. So it's the final parable of three parables in Luke's gospel that describes something that has been lost. So at the beginning, it was a coin, and then it was a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. And then it becomes even more valuable. It is a father who lost his son, and he's found him again. And the parables try to describe not only God's mercy, but the gift of God's joy when we come back knowing that maybe we have wandered from the path, have chosen other things, and have learned and know that we need God's mercy, and yet we trust in his love. This weekend, as I said, it's Lautari Sunday to say that we rejoice, but it's also connecting to this gospel about the gift of God's joy because he wants us back, and he longs for us to sometimes learn a harsh lesson of life and to trust that grace and wisdom may abound as we strive to then follow Christ. Now, I'll tell you a personal story, but before I do, just to think for a moment in the last week or in the last several months, has anybody shown you, maybe unexpectedly, a gift of mercy or a way of saying, wow, I'll let this slide? So for myself, several years ago, when I was pastor of a couple parishes, once in a while, I could lose track of time, and so once in a while, I would have to go from one parish to the other. And so one week, I was, during the week, I had spent a little time in the big metropolitan area of Decatur, Nebraska, and I had gone there to do Mass, and I had to do a little business, and so I was exiting Main Street in my 1988 Mazda pickup truck that everybody called Rusty. It sometimes looked like it could barely go 10 miles an hour. But that day, I was leaving the Main Street and driving south out of town and not paying attention, and was thinking about the next thing I had to do. And lo and behold, I was met by the city cop who pulled me over because he said I was speeding. And so he said, well, what's your hurry? And I said, you know, I just lost track of time and lost sense of how fast I was going. I was being apologetic, of course. And he says, well, can I at least have your driver's license? And so then I'm looking for my wallet and I have no wallet. And so then I'm pleading with the officer a little bit more, saying, I'm really sorry, but I always have it with me, but today I don't. And so I still gave him information. I didn't give him somebody else's name. I gave him my name, Mark Tomasevich, gave him my Social Security number, other stuff, so he could check and verify that I wasn't wanted by anything else. And so at the very end, he said, I'll let you go. I'll give you a warning, but I have one other thing I want you to do. He says, I want you to say to our fathers and don't speed. But that's not the end of the story. So later in the week, it's Sunday, and I have to do Masses again at both parishes, and I do my early Mass at Decatur, and I leave town quietly, carefully, within the speed limit, drive, set the cruise between the 17-mile trip, and I get to Tecama, and the church, the new church that was built, was right on the outskirts, and so I was driving and not paying attention as I left town. And again, I got pulled over by another city cop. And he asked me, he says, what's your hurry? Where are you going? And I'm in my collar. And I said, well, I'm going to church and I'm the pastor and I don't want to be late. And he again said, I'll give you a warning, but please slow down. Now, that's just an example of somebody who obviously, or both people could have given me tickets, but I was appreciative of their mercy and understanding. And to think of God in the parable, as Jesus says, that he's really addressing the Pharisees and the scribes at the beginning of this gospel. But there's a line that Jesus says, or that people kind of articulate, and that says, this man even welcomes sinners and eats with them. And they're really describing Jesus. And when I read that sometimes, I say, that's wonderful. It's a good thing. because it reminds us of Jesus wanting to save us and transform us. And so like St. Paul would say, he became all things like us except sin. And so Christ wanted to somehow embrace human nature, but not sin, but to be able to transform it and heal it and restore its dignity. And so that's a wonderful gift that Christ proclaims and reveals. Obviously, it's a long gospel, so there's two other things I just want to point out. One is as we think about the gospel, can you maybe identify sometimes with the younger son or the older son? You know, sometimes we do want things out of selfishness. And to think of how the Father, who is God, loved his younger son and gave him his inheritance way before. It was almost an insult to the Father, but the Father still gave him his inheritance and let him do what he desired to do. An incredible love, an incredible sense of generosity. And then you have the older son who stays at home, and he works hard. But when he finds out what happens, he's created or has maybe in some sense rightly some resentment and anger towards his brother. Because the father welcomes him back, and not only welcomes him back, but he throws a party. And he gives him a new robe and a brand new ring, which is like a new credit card with unlimited balance. And then he gives him sandals, which means he has a certain dignity. The father gave him everything back. And so we can sometimes say, well, I get upset when somebody else is treated in a better way than myself. But God really reminds us that it's not for us to decide, but rather we're to embrace the Father's forgiveness and mercy and grace in such a way that it helps us become more merciful, more loving, and sometimes more accepting of not only our weaknesses, but even tolerant of others. So I want to end with just two simple things to think about. One is there somebody that I need to be reconciled with when I think about my own life, even now? Is there somebody that still I struggle with? And so I invite you to pray and to strive to say, let bygones be bygones. And then secondly, how do I trust in God's merciful love towards myself that is meant to empower me towards not only forgiveness, but of living reconciliation and living with God's peace? And lastly, to know that as Lent continues the final couple weeks, if you haven't celebrated the Sacrament of Reconciliation in a while, I would encourage you. I'm here on Saturday afternoons, and probably during Holy Week, I'll have a couple extra times in the bulletin this next week to offer the chance to celebrate the sacrament, to know that Christ wants you to be reconciled so that you can feast on his love and taste and see the goodness of God in your midst.